It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free, 347-215-7771.
So the Celtics, they stay above 500. They don't drop below it with a 124-107 victory over the Pelicans tonight down in New Orleans. A very impressive victory from the Boston Celtics. And I'm excited to talk about this one. I am Andrew Bino, hosting tonight's CLNS Media Celtics postgame show. Alongside me is my man, Colin Letty. Excited to get to this one. Honestly, there's so much to get into. Some major piece for the Celtics didn't play in Jaylen Brown. Some pieces that have been important most of the year didn't play that much. We're going to get to it all. I see some callers already, so should be a very exciting show after a very exciting game. But before we get to it all, I do want to shout out and say that this episode is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, Brad Marchand, and Aaron Baines. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street. So, like I said, I'm Andrew Bino. Alongside me is Colin Letty. Colin Letty. Colin, first thing I want to get to is the Celtics finally came out firing on all cylinders in a road game this year, looked so strong. They were up the whole game, and obviously it got close at points, but they looked damn good in that first quarter, especially against a team in New Orleans that is 8-1 at home this year.
Right, and like you said, they had a 5-game home winning streak, and this was a good win. I mean, they play in the Western Conference, you know, they're a 500 record, and it's a long way to go, but this is a good start. And we've seen this a couple times, a solid win, then it's kind of a step backwards. So hopefully this is the signs of something good to come here. But, yeah, it was fast-paced, extra passes. They ended the quarter on an 8-1 run. You know, that they were winning the paint and transition game. So a lot to like in that first quarter, getting out fast and strong.
And there's a ton to it as well, because Al Horford has been getting a lot of flack from a lot of different areas, national media, local media, whatever, for his play so far this year. And look, he's never going to be a 20-10 guy. And the Celtics, when they signed him originally, did not have in the back of their minds, oh, he's going to become better than he already is. They knew that his offensive game was pick and pop and going to give you 13 to 15 points a game, but it's the defense and everything else that he brings. But once in a while, you get those performances from Al Horford that reminds everybody he still has it, and he did that tonight. Very impressed. The season high, 20 points. Great game overall, and him and Kyrie were absolutely clicking, Colin, with that pick and roll and the pick and pop.
Well, Al Horford was unequivocally the most important player on the court today. Not only just, you know, he added in a lot of on offense, 20 points, but it was his defense on Anthony Davis just really getting in his grill. 8 of 19 was Anthony Davis. Still winds up with 27 points because he's Anthony Davis, but he had to work for every single piece of it, and 11 of those came from the free throw line. And obviously he's getting calls in New Orleans that, you know, normally he doesn't get. But, he plays a physical game, so he's going to get to the line a lot. Horford not able to do too much rebounding today because of how much focus he had to do on Davis. But I think as a whole, they just did such a great job with him. And he got off to a hot start, 12 points in the first quarter. And like we talked about before last time, you know, it's never going to be one guy that goes for 40 with the Celtics. But you see how this game worked out, especially down the stretch. You know, you have five guys in double digits, and then three of them with 20 points, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie obviously dazzling a little bit more than usually, five three-pointers made. But, I mean, I love it from the bench production. That's what I love the most. 31 bench points, a lot of second-chance buckets as well. So, overall, just a great, gritty win by this team. Never succumbed to the lead. And it was just something we haven't seen in a while.
And everything really flowed tonight. And I have to say, I think a big piece of that is because of the changes in the starting lineup, one because of Gordon Hayward sitting, and that's a Brad Stevens decision. That's his jurisdiction. And also with Jaylen Brown out with an injury, it now shows that Marcus Smart, I think, is the person to start for the Celtics team. And I'm not going to overreact, and I'm not going to say, oh, my God, everything is fixed, because not everything is fixed. New Orleans is maybe a 7 at the 6 seed at best in a tough Western Conference this year if Anthony Davis keeps up his MVP pace. They're a solid team. They're not a great team. They don't have any great players other than Anthony Davis. But with the Celtics on
the Eastern Conference, if they're in the Eastern Conference, though, they're a top 4 seed, no doubt about it.
I mean, I would say now with the East getting better, they could be a 5 or 6. People forget about Indiana. I mean, look, the Celtics right now, what, they're a 7 or 6 seed if the playoffs started today. There's more talent in the East column I think people are letting on. But still, the fact that they took it to a team, especially right off the gate, with both Marcuses, Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, in the starting lineup, that made the Celtics look a lot more fresh. And quite frankly, I think it's going to be a very hard balance moving forward now that the Celtics are around 500. For Brad Stevens to say Marcus Morris is much better just overall as a player right now for the Celtics team, so how much more is he going to play him and then also hinder Hayward's development but also hinder the Celtics' record? Like, the more you play Horford, the more likely you might lose. And in a night like tonight, you're going to go up and win and win comfortably in a weird, I don't know if comfortably is the word, but they at least looked very solid in their win tonight over the Pelicans in that fourth quarter. Morris was making big-time plays all night long. Like, I really feel like that Morris is just a better option right now, but it's almost like an awkward political social game for Brad Stevens to have to play with all of these guys. And Hayward not playing a ton tonight and Jaylen Brown not playing made the Celtics look much better, especially at the start of the game.
Right, well, you know, the blessing and the curse of this team is you kind of have to go by the hot hand by committee, and you have about, you know, 8 guys that could be that guy on any given night, and it might take you the first quarter to figure out who that's going to be, if you get what I'm saying. I mean, you see it. We see flashes from Rozier. I mean, Tatum starts off a little slow, but then it's Marcus Morris picking up the slack, and Al Horford doing a little bit of everything. And then also you have Baines having great production, just more than you'd even expect from him. So, I mean, this team, it just, like I said before, you can't judge a team before January 1st. You got to give them that time to get the tempo and mesh. And right now, Gordon Hayward looks a little lost on offense, and he's just going to have to.
Cole, but my thing is it's more than just a little loss, though, Colin. Like, he genuinely, like, went up for a layup tonight, and it was so awkward. It was in like the lane, and everybody had their hands up, and he didn't get fouled. And he put it up, and it was awful. And it, like, he shot it from the right side, and it landed on the left. And then he had like the worst body language after. Like, Gordon Hayward is still not comfortable, and the Celtics are now 21 games in. They're officially like a quarter of the way through the season. And I understand your take. You can't fully say, oh, this is where a team's going to end up until maybe the turn of the year. I still think offensively the Celtics had major issues that they couldn't wait until January 1st, Colin. Like, it was major.
No, no, you're right. Right?
And like, by playing smart, Morris tonight, man, they looked better.
And that's what you're going to see. You're going to see him go with the hot hand. So until Hayward, I don't think Brad Stevens is just going to start putting him out there. You see his minutes. I mean, he's already on the bench. You see his minutes dwindling a little bit every single night when he doesn't have production. But I mean, I've gone through terrible injuries before, and it takes you, you just can't jump back into it with a full team and it's just going to click right away. I mean, Kyrie got to play with them all year last year. Jason Tatum played with everyone last year. Al Horford played with them all. Marcus Smart got hurt, but he's been playing with them for a while. Gordon Hayward never even – that was his first year last year. Now he has to insert himself. If these growing pains were happening last year, it would have been understandable. So this is really his first introduction. I'm not giving him any excuse. He's not ready. That's all it is, and the train keeps moving. You can't stop this thing just because Gordon Hayward isn't where he needs to be. So if that means
Colin, this is my thing, though. It's actually cringeworthy when the game was in the middle of the fourth, and the Celtics were, like, going back and forth, and thankfully Al Horford and Kyrie, who are the vets of this team and actually stepped up tonight and made big shots. It was actually cringeworthy watching Gordon Hayward out there in crunch time, and he actually justified it a tiny bit being out there instead of Morris until he got pulled with, like, 4 minutes to go in favor of Morris, which I love because I feel like Morris should be out there for most of the important minutes in a fourth quarter game like that. Hayward did justify a little bit with the corner three, but still, it's not like Hayward's shooting well from three this year, Colin. Like, it's honestly a little bit uncomfortable sometimes watching Hayward out there, like, to me, because when you have a guy in Morris or even Smart can, like, play that role, they're so much better, and they're going to make the Celtics team win so much more. And now they need wins, being a 500 team a quarter way through the year. Like, it's getting to the point where it's like, where do you draw the line of, okay, like, I think Brad Stevens did a good job tonight of making it, okay, Hayward, you're going to go in there for a little bit, but guess what? The first 9 minutes, 8 minutes of the third quarter, when the Celtics were clicking, Brad Stevens said, no, like, Hayward, I can't put you in. Obviously, you can say that out loud, but, like, the way that he did the rotations, Colin, he didn't put Hayward in, like, until I think it was 3:30 to go in the third quarter. And I'm glad that Brad Stevens did it, but it probably also hurts him in a way and makes him feel awkward in a way because they're paying Gordon Hayward all this money and they're trying to rehab him and get him integrated into the offense. Like, where do you draw the line of, okay, the Celtics need to actually start winning games now, but this is also awful for Hayward's production and integration into the team?
I mean, it's just like what I said. I mean, it kind of seems like the Monstars took all his powers, and I don't know where they went. But like we said, we're seeing his role already diminish. So I think that is what we're going to see until you see a spark out of Hayward. I mean, he's only shooting the ball five times a game. I mean, at least here, he was a minus eight on the court. He looks a little lost right now. I don't know if they need to shut him down for a little bit and until he's 100%, until he practices with the team full speed. But it seems like, you know, no Jaylen Brown tonight. It seems like it's almost better when one of the pieces are missing that night because it gives everyone else a little more opportunity.
Yep. No, I'm right there.
There's too many cooks sometimes. There's too many cooks, and you can't feed them all.
No, exactly. And there's almost – it's not a – they're not feeding the belly, which is the points the Celtics need to score enough sometimes per game with all these different cooks, like you're saying. But there are a couple callers. Been waiting for a while. This is 310 area code. 310, you are on with Andrew Urbino and Colin Leddy on the CLNS Celtics postgame show. 310, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, guys? I enjoy the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
I want to say I was happy to see Robert Williams get in there in the garbage time. He had an alley-oop. He got a couple of rebounds. Like, he's kind of like my favorite Celtic player that I want to see more from. Al Horford stepped up so big today. He was making his buckets, getting rebounds. We played physical. We got into Anthony Davis. You know, he can go for 40, 45 points if you don't check him. And Marcus Smart had a hell of a good game all around. He hit a few top of the key three-pointers that arc there. And Kyrie did well. And I sense a nice camaraderie in the bench, a nice team spirit. It looks like they're starting to gel, starting to root for each other. And I think Brad is figuring out the rotations. Yabusele, I would like to see him more. Baines played great. But other than that, I just hope that all the guys get enough experience and we have a very deep roster. What do you guys think about the effort?
Yeah, we appreciate the call, man. Thank you. A lot of good points there. I think the biggest one is that the Celtics clearly did, like the caller said, look really good tonight. Like, this was the first game all year, finally, a quarter of the way through the season, the Celtics I envisioned Kyrie making huge buckets and playing really well and within an offense, not just kind of being selfish, and Horford getting major buckets, and Morris and Smart and Rozier, the kind of the guts of the team, playing really well. I mean, Rozier did so much with so little time tonight. I want to get to that later. I mean, his 14 points in 19 minutes. And then also you have Tatum really playing within the offense. Like, this is what I envisioned with the Celtics team, Colin. Like, I don't know. Do you see the Celtics kind of using this as a roadmap? Okay, wait, guys, this is how we should be playing, like, moving forward. Because to me, they need to recreate this every single night. I just don't know when Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward are healthy, like, if they can do it the exact same way. But, like, am I wrong in thinking this is, like, the best version of the Celtics this year? Because I thought it was their best game of the year.
I agree with you 100%. This was, I think, the most consistent we've seen them. Obviously, there was a couple lapses on defense where, I mean, I think they got it down to maybe 6 or 8. But this is the blueprint. This is the blueprint. Get Kyrie 20 shots. Let Al Horford surprise you offensively. Let Marcus Morris do what he can do. Jason Tatum, I think you need to see a little more out of him on consistent shots. We've talked about the bad twos lately. Not a lot of free throw line. We only got to the line 10 times tonight, but I want to see more out of Rozier. This guy's talking about Yabu and Ogile and Williams. I think they're lucky to get on the court because the Celtics front eight is so good. I think until you see, like I said, with Gordon Hayward, I want to see Rozier's minutes up and Hayward's minutes down. Because the thing is, if you're trying to integrate Gordon Hayward, you can't do it all at once. You can't get all his mojo back just by throwing 30 minutes at him. That's not good for him. If you want to start him off slow, 15 minutes, you know, let him kind of see what sticks for him in this offense. Because obviously, if you put him on a crappy team, he's going to show out like he used to do for the Jazz. But here we have legitimate guys, and you can't just throw away Baines on the bench now, because Baines is a legitimate big man here who can guard a solid five in the league. And then obviously Rozier, look what he does with less than 20 minutes. You know, he's hitting 33% on threes.
Colin, his 14 points in 19 minutes is why, like, how can he get any less time, Rozier, when he's producing that much in so little time? Like, how can you say anyone should be playing like Rozier, like the Celtics? How can you say that the Celtics should be playing Rozier less? Because I get that Hayward needs to find some more minutes. Right?
I said I want Rozier playing more, and I want Hayward playing less.
I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
No. Rozier bumped that man's minutes up. Hayward, bump him down, because the guy, if you need to make a trade, it's going to be Terry Rozier. So at least let him showcase his abilities to the league and say, this guy is legit. We could maybe – we're not getting Anthony Davis, but someone in the realm that can get you over the hump if things aren't clicking the way you think they should be, because there's too much going on, too many players, not enough shots to go around, then Rozier's that guy. You're not going to get rid of Hayward. Kyrie's here to stay. Marcus Smart, you can move him, but it's going to be Rozier. But he's a guy that's just a solid player on the court right now, and you need him. He's a plus five, 14 points in 18 minutes. What's not to like?
No, we're on the same page there then, and Colin. I was really confused, but we're on the same page. I love Rozier's game. I love the way he's been coming in and doing so much with nothing so fast. I mean, when Rozier is going for a contract this summer, assuming that the Celtics don't try to sign him and he becomes the Celtics don't match whatever any offer that he makes, because Rozier technically is a restricted free agent. This is one of the games that his agent is going to use as leverage. Hey, guys, like, no matter what happens to Rozier, he's going to say, hey, no matter like what Rozier's final stats are this year, look at what he did against Utah in a start when Kyrie was out. He had 20-plus points. And look at what he did tonight against a very good Pelicans team in 19 minutes. The guy has 14 points, like you said, and was just all over the place on the court, just like flying around. I love Rozier's game. So we're on the same page there, Colin. We have multiple callers. I love this. 413, you're on the line with Andrew Beano and Colin Levy on the CLNS Media post-game Celtic show. What's up, 413?
Just listening. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yep. No worries. Love everybody calling in, listening to the show this time of year. So we got 860. You're either listening, or if you're calling in to state your point, you're on with Colin and Andrew, man.
Hey, Colin and Andrew. It's Paul from Connecticut. How are you?
Paul, what's going on?
What's going on, man?
What do you want to talk about tonight with this game? Good win by the Celtics.
Good win. Team looked real good, man. I had called in after the Utah game, and I was really pushing the bring Hayward off the bench and stop starting him, and Stevens did it the next game. And I just heard you guys talking about also how playing him even less minutes might help. He just zaps the energy from this team, man. Every time he comes into the game, I hate to keep, like, talking badly about Hayward. I know everybody out there, we all want to give him the benefit of the doubt. Don't get me wrong. And he needs time. but we're trying to win basketball games, man. And maybe that's impatience on my part, but I don't want to look up and we're 25-25 because Hayward can't get his legs under him. More minutes for Marcus Morris, more for Marcus Smart. Even Rozier, if he gets more, he plays better. So I definitely agree with you guys' point there. I mean, do you see Stevens restricting Hayward's minutes to 20 or 25 a game? Would he do that to him? I mean, that's his boy from Buck.
He already is.
Really? Is that all he played tonight?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he only played 23.
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, the game kind of got away at the end, but...
True. But even when he came in, they cut into that deficit. I think the Seas were up 12 or 14, maybe even a little bit more, maybe even 20. And then when Hayward came in, they got right back into it. Marcus Morris just looks like a better basketball player than Hayward at this point. The more he plays, the better we're doing.
Hayward was a -8 tonight, and it was very evident. You know, he was the only guy. He was the only rotation guy.
That's the worst plus minus on the whole team. He had a -8, like you just said. And Paul, it's obvious too. Like the Celtics started so hot, and they were up on the Pelicans, and then Hayward comes in with Baines, and it wasn't Baines' fault, but it was more like the way Hayward just came right in, and it was so awkward. And the first thing he does is lose the ball. Like he has the ball, he's trying to make a move, and he loses it. It's just like the kid that you want to do well in high school basketball, he's like a JV kid that you bring up, and it's like, he's not ready. But in this case, Hayward's injured, and it's an awkward dynamic with this whole team. I mean, I have, honestly, a pretty funny joke. Like, I feel like his shoes kind of look too big. Like, he just looks clunky out there. He looks awkward. I don't know if, like, anybody else is seeing the same thing. Paul, I think you kind of have the same vibes as me. The way I've been a little tough on Hayward, but I think it's getting to the point where, like you said, they're not as good as a basketball team with him on the floor.
No, it's like they have lightning in a bottle, and when he comes on the court, he just opens that lid and lets it all out. And unfortunately, and I'm not going to hold anything against him because of that injury. People forget how gruesome that is. Just the fact that he's back playing basketball at all after that is a commendable act. But right now, I mean, it's black and white. You're here to win basketball games, and you can't hold someone's hand just because they're a little slow. You know what I mean? And you're just doing him a disservice by having him out there for so long anyways. I mean, we've seen it on defense. He's been pretty solid guarding the wing and even coming up on the post on help defense. But there's guys on the team that can do that and produce offensively without having the flow kind of get stalwarted by that. So I would say it's time to not restrict minutes, just start parceling his out a little bit more throughout the roster, get Rozier in there more. Marcus Morris, I want to see him finishing games. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he starts. It matters if he's on the court to end the game. That's all that matters. But I thought from tonight, this was up and down the most consistent game, you know, we've seen so far.
Hey, Paul, thank you for the call. We appreciated you calling in and making a very valid point about Gordon Hayward. And look, it's very easy to put and use Gordon Hayward as a scapegoat early on in the season. I mean, Celtics are 11-10, and you can say, hey, it's the guy that got hurt, and we're paying all this money, he's not playing well. But you know who also is honestly to blame? And it was evident tonight by him not playing, and we kind of alluded to it earlier, but I really want to get into it, Colin. I really think, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I've been the biggest Jaylen Brown guy for so long, and I was confused why he wasn't playing the end of games sometimes this year, but you know what? For some reason, Jaylen Brown is not meshing with the Celtics offense because, like we said at the top, the Celtics looked so good offensively with Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris in there. There was so much less dribbling. The ball was moving so quickly. And guess what? Al Horford got more points because of it, and Kyrie looked better because of it. And honestly, Jason Tatum had a really good night too, and there was plenty to discuss about Tatum later on if you want to call in and give your Tatum take. 347-215-7771 is the call line. But, Colin, Jaylen Brown, I think you're going to have to, if you're Brad Stevens, the next time Jaylen Brown is healthy, whether that's Friday against the Cavs or Saturday when the Celtics travel to Minnesota, I think you have to try Jaylen Brown off the bench with Hayward and see if this same great start can kind of keep up in the beginning of the game with both Marcuses starting in place of Hayward and Jaylen Brown.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of the NBA. It's all about how you finish, and a lot of the times the teams that end up, you know, with the best right, we've seen what happened to the Raptors, you know, they're a bullet off the gate, and then by the time it's April or May, you know, they're gone in the first, second round here. That's the good thing about the NBA. The best teams in April and May are usually the teams that are last standing. So the best part for Brad Stevens is he can kind of, you know, twirl around this roster and shake it up as much as he wants right now, and see what fits. You know, he has that luxury. Obviously, you got to win games here. You got to put the best players on the court. But I'm not going to say Jaylen Brown is the reason this team is, you know, kind of fumbling around here. I think that's too easy of a situation because they're going to have to make it work with all of them. Like, that's the fact. They're not better without him.
Colin, it gets to a point, though, where you're going to have to ride with some guys more than others. And tonight, Marcus Morris proved that they should be the guys that the Celtics are going with a lot more than Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. And there's going to be egos pierced because Jaylen Brown likes being known as this great young star and getting interviewed by Bleacher Report and saying kind of outlandish things about how many titles he thinks the Celtics can win. And Gordon Hayward's getting paid a lot of money, so he obviously wants to play a lot as well, and he feels like the guy. But Colin, it comes down to the fact that, like, the Celtics looked really good tonight without Jaylen Brown, and whenever Gordon Hayward was off the floor, they looked really good. But those are facts from tonight's game. Maybe it's just one game, and maybe everybody can point and laugh to me, but I really think there's something very tangible to – if you break down it too, like the Celtics starting five to start the year when they started the season against Philadelphia with Kyrie, Jaylen, Jason Tatum, Al Horford, and Gordon Hayward, with that starting lineup, like, it was actually like statistically one of the Celtics' worst lineups, and it's kind of proved itself tonight when the Celtics started with a completely different lineup and looked that much better. Like, I think there's something to it, Colin. I know you're gonna say I'm overreacting, but I feel good about the fact that the Celtics started other guys tonight and looked better.
Well, here's the thing: Brad Stevens was stressing it that they're getting great shots early in the season. They just weren't hitting tonight. They were hitting, and I'm not going to say they were hitting. They weren't hitting shots because Jaylen Brown wasn't on the court. I mean, so far as a team, I'm just trying to look for their field goal because that is a 437 tonight. That, you know, they hit almost 50%.
So almost 44%. Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean.
It's not because Jaylen Brown's not on the court. No, see, this is my thing, Colin. Is that you have the fact that the Celtics. We're getting – how many shots did Tatum take towards the rim tonight? I mean, he had two dunks. He had a couple of layups. He was going towards the rim. Al Horford got great quality looks because the offense was flowing more, and Morris and Marcus Smart were taking shots within the offense. Like, a lot of times with Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward, there's so much dribbling involved in their games, and it was making Tatum kind of be like, oh, my God, I finally have the ball. I'm going to dribble a lot. He didn't seem like that at all. That was the best game Jason Tatum has played all year, in my opinion. That's the best he's looked since he had that incredible and historic playoff run as a rookie with the Celtics last playoffs. I really think that there's something to be said about less is more now with the Celtics team and knowing when the Celtics need to kind of have certain guys step off offensively. And Jaylen Brown is not as consistent of a scorer as Tatum or now Marcus Morris. And Marcus Smart is a better defender than Gordon Hayward right now. So there's reasons why the Celtics look really good tonight, Colin. I think it's more than just, oh, they hit shots. I think there's something to be said about Jaylen Brown being out of the lineup.
I mean, I think Jaylen on offense is very raw. I don't think in college he was leaned on that much. And we only saw – and again, this happens with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. We hyped them up so much. And we got to remember what they were last year at the beginning of the season. You know, they weren't heralded as the next all-stars. You know, we thought they could do some good things in the future. And then in the playoffs, they showed us that. But, I mean, last year, if you look at the regular season defensive rating, I mean, Jaylen Brown was one of the top guys. And so was Jason Tatum. So I'm not just going to throw Jaylen Brown because one game happens and the Celtics win against a team who they should be beating. I think we're getting away from the fact that because they've underperformed, this is supposed to be this big win. This game is supposed to be won. This game was not – this game, if you talked about it a year ago or in the offseason, you know, would that be a signature win for this team? People would have laughed at you. You know what I mean? Jaylen Brown, his defensive rating last year, is win share, he was number 11. So He helped the, so it, we're just very quick to forget how much he's shown us, and that talent didn't just go away. It's going to take time. It's an adjustment period for everyone, and there's guys that are going to be able to adjust to it quicker. Kyrie, Al Horford, they know their roles and what they're supposed to do. We're slowly seeing Jason Tatum kind of find his role here. Gordon Hayward, obviously not what we like to see, but I don't think – I think that is just a little too easy of an answer just to say that he's not – yeah, obviously other guys are going to shine when there's one less mouth to feed. More guys, they're going to get more shots up. So
but
you might see
Colin,
Marcus Morris get
about,
20
oh, they,
points.
They, Colin, it's not just about
I understand
oh,
it's slow the offense,
tonight.
But still. They're a better team
yeah,
with
but,
him.
And this is my thing. Tonight they did not look it, and it's not because – only him. All right, you can even put it this way, though. Like, if Tatum had sat tonight, Jaylen Brown could have done the exact same thing. But maybe more. It's more about the fact that the Celtics just have too many mouths to feed, Colin, or what you were saying. There's too many chefs in the kitchen, or however you want to put it. Like, there's something to be said about Morris and Smart, who are guys that are going to have shots within the offense. Like, Marcus Morris is never going to take it and dribble, dribble, dribble. He's going to either take a three off the catch and shoot, or he's going to hit a nice fadeaway. And Marcus Smart is now totally matured. I don't know what Brad Stevens did over the offseason to make him only take shots within the offense. But these guys are such great defenders and great, gritty players and are so tough that their offense just comes naturally. And it made Horford, Kyrie, and Tatum seem so much more natural tonight. It made Terry Rozier look like playoff Terry with his play tonight. I think there's something to be said about one less mouth to feed. And if there's somebody to get voted off the island, I'm sorry, but like it shows tonight that Jaylen Brown, and I've never said this about Jaylen Brown either, Colin. Like, I've always been team Jaylen. Like, I even said earlier on these post-game shows this year, you should be playing Jaylen Brown more, Brad Stevens. What's going on here? Why isn't he playing the end of games? I think there's something to be said about him out tonight and what the Celtics did. And Colin, I understand, too, your point about, Celtics should be beating the Pelicans. Like, the Pelicans aren't that great, or they're not not one of the upper echelon teams. The Celtics came into this game losers of 4 of 5. Like, they needed this win. If they were going to go back to Boston after a three-game winning streak with after a three-game road trip with one win, and it was over the Hawks, that would have been an issue. Like, they needed this win, and it felt probably better than just a win. It felt like they kind of found a little bit of something down in New Orleans tonight.
No, I agree, but hey, you know what? No one other team has too many chefs, and they make it work is Golden State, and that took a little bit. You know, the Celtics are trying to build another monster here that can just take over the NBA, and it seems like Jaylen Brown's one of those guys who has bought into this system and has openly said, you know, it's different from Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier's open that he thinks he's a starter. Jaylen Brown, he's talking about winning here. So I think there's just something to be said that he's willing to work at this. And I get it. Some nights are going to be better than others. And tonight you take him out and obviously other guys shine. But I don't know how consistent is Marcus Morris going to be an all-star? I think the ceiling on Jaylen Brown this year is higher than a lot of these other guys. I think Jaylen Brown at his peak, can be the second best player on this team. Maybe the third. Of Jason Tatum.
No, but this is the thing. That's not far-fetched, but if the Celtics want to win games, the offense, like tonight, should be going through Kyrie, number one, and then Tatum and Horford are kind of 2A, 2B, whoever's more on, and the Celtics just played better overall when you have two defensive-minded guys in Morris, or even just tough guys that aren't finesse guys like a Hayward and a Brown. They had two tough, gritty guys in the starting five tonight, and at least made a difference for this game. But before Colin and I start punching each other through the phone, we are going to get a quick word from our sponsors, Boston Barber and Tattoo Company.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
Always good to hear from our friends over at Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. You are listening to the CLNS Celtics postgame show. I am Andrew Urbino. Alongside me tonight is my co-host, Colin Letty. The number to call in is 347-215-7771. We've had some great callers tonight. Really insightful thoughts. Appreciate it. Hearing from 310 area code. We didn't get a name, but he had a great call. And we also heard from Paul in Connecticut, who's talking about Gordon Hayward. Look, we can trash the guys who didn't help a lot, like Gordon Hayward tonight, or the guys that didn't play in Jaylen Brown tonight, and kind of what it meant and what it looked like. But one guy who showed out tonight and who is progressing as a player before our eyes, in my opinion, is Kyrie Irving. And his offense has been there since he got drafted out of Duke. And obviously, he's gotten better over the years, and it peaked with that huge shot in the finals in 2016 for the Cavs. And he's looked great this year offensively with his shooting. But when it comes to passing the ball, people, when he got traded to the Celtics, I had so many people say to me, man, Andrew, like, Kyrie, he's never going to make any assists, man. He's not that good of a passer. Did you see the way Colin Al Horford was used tonight by Kyrie Irving? Like, the amount of times Kyrie found Al Horford, even on times that Horford didn't finish and they weren't assists for Kyrie. Like, there was something special about the way they were playing together, and Kyrie's assist numbers have been so good in these last 8 games or so. He's had double-digit assists, I want to say, at least 4 times. I'm going to fact-check myself in a few moments. But, I mean, Kyrie looked great tonight passing the ball, and he had 10 assists.
Right. I mean, I love how they play together, and Al Horford is probably, as a big man, one of, if not the best, at spacing and knowing where to find the open look, because him naturally being a passive offensive player and kind of being, you know, ideally their fourth option, you know, he knows when to take his shot, and he's very good at finishing at the rim. And especially with all the work he does on offense, the fact that he still has enough energy to, you know, be so involved, because really when the offense goes through him, there's so many open looks because everyone crashes down on him in the post or the high or the free throw line. So they're playing phenomenally, and you're just seeing them feed each other, you know, feeding off each other. And Kyrie, obviously, he was a little shaky to start the season. We're now finally seeing the guy that we traded for, you know, 50% from three. You know, people want to talk about him taking 10 threes. I don't have a problem with it when he's hitting, you know, 4, 5, 6 of them. You know what I mean? He has the green light whenever.
And his passing, too, like you said, Horford, it's perfect. These are the types of things preseason you see people write articles about, and like, oh, how can Kyrie and Horford work together in the pick and pop, like, and how they did last year. Well, it's even progressed and showed tonight. Like, the way Kyrie was, he's been finding everyone, and he's been playing such great basketball. I fact-checked myself. It's in the last 7 games, Kyrie has 4 double-digit assist games. Like, the way he's been finding everyone on the team, but the way he worked with Horford tonight, that was special, and that really was a result of them being on the same page. And Horford, maybe because Hayward and Jaylen Brown weren't out there that much tonight, with obviously Brown being out, Horford felt like he could attack more. Like, that was the Al Horford that I've been used to, and I've heard a lot of people, both nationally and locally in the Boston area, absolutely trash Al Horford. I said, like, last week on the post-game show, when they played the Knicks, when the Celtics lost to the Knicks, I said Horford and Smart are really the only ones this year. Every single night I know that the Celtics can count on and get great production from them. And with Horford, I don't need 20 points like tonight. Like, I don't need that every night from Horford. I do need, though, the 12 to 15 that he's always going to give you, and the great defense, which he's given you all year. Like, that's what Al Horford does, and that's what he did tonight. And when he is doing that, like he's kind of been doing all year, I think he shuts everybody up. And people were saying, oh, he's slowing down athletically. Did you see that dunk he had, I want to say, in the first quarter? I mean, Al Horford is here, and he's ready to get this thing back on the tracks for the Celtics.
Right. I mean, you see it. I mean, you see what he did to Anthony Davis. People want to talk about him being an NBA All-Star. And if Al Horford wasn't out there, you know, Davis is probably going for 40. But I mean, let's be real. And, you know, they want to talk about his athleticism. The way he has 3 steals tonight. He has a block. His rebounding numbers are usually much more solid tonight. But he is just such a solid player. People want to talk about him calling him average Al, and because he's not a 25 point shooter or 25 point, you know, scorer, and he's a max contract guy. Well, you know, he's 15, you know, 7 to 10, and then on any given night you could see him with 10 assists. So he is literally Mr. Do It All. He's a championship player. He's a guy you need.
Ben, look, think about the guys the Celtics have to face in the Eastern Conference. Like, not only during the regular season, but they could potentially see in the playoffs, especially if the Celtics are in that 4 to 5 range. Who knows, folks? Like, they could end up still being a top 2 seed. The Celtics, I think tonight showed that they do have the talent to be a very, very good basketball team. But look, the way that they played tonight, it really showed a lot. And I mean, I have to say that with Horford and the way he's been playing, like, he's guarding Davis tonight and he's bothering him all night, like you said. I mean, think about the players the Celtics are going to go against in the East potentially. Miles Turner, very similar player to Davis, long, athletic, even younger than Davis, I want to say. You also have a guy like Embiid that Horford has already taken to school in the playoffs, and he took him to school in the very first game of the year. So Al Horford's defense is not diminishing, folks. Like, I don't know. Everybody just likes to point at, oh, he's a max contract guy. Look at his stats. No. Look at his defense tonight. Go back and watch the tape. And like you said, Colin, at the top of the show, Anthony Davis may have had 27 points, but that's the quietest 27 points he's maybe ever had in his career. Like, he had to work, like you said, for every bucket, and he looked not – that comfortable at all. He had one really easy bucket, and it was the alley-oop from Drew Holiday. And okay, you give up one alley-oop to Anthony Davis, who some people think is the MVP, in 37 minutes. Like, I'm completely fine with that. Horford did a great job on him. And something else I really think should be noted is Aron Baynes, like you said, for all the great accolades that all the great acknowledgments, he should be getting with his offensive game and things that you said at the top of the show with him being great offensively, he played some really good defense on Anthony Davis as well. I mean, he really disrupted Davis in that first quarter and looked pretty good on him. One of the worst plays he had on Davis was when he fouled Davis in the fourth quarter. So I was impressed with Baynes D as well. Both those guys, the fact that you can have Baynes and Horford matched up with Davis at any point in a game or against an Embiid or a Miles Turner in the Eastern Conference has to make you feel good as a Celtics fan from a defensive perspective, because the offense, it came tonight and it showed how good of a team the Celtics can be, scoring 124 points, but the defense is still there.
Right. I mean, the defense is there, but there's just a couple of lapses. I mean, they in the second and third quarter, they it was pretty poor in the last 30 seconds or so. But I do have, you know, Chris Forsberg tweet this out, and this is the Celtics defensive rating by quarter. And they are number 1 in the first, number 6 in the second, number 11th in the third, and number 10th in the fourth. And so by half, they're a great first half defender. Second half, they become a little bit average. But they're in the last 5 minutes, like clutch time, they're 22nd. That's Chris Forsberg tweeting that out. So I'm not 100% sold on the defense. I mean, Kyrie can be sort of a liability at times, and you're going to have to see Marcus Smart, Al Horford pick up the slack. But, I mean, you're talking Marcus Smart, Al Horford, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. Those are guys who finished in the top 11 defensive rating last year, and you got four of them on your team. So that means the other guys got to pick up the slack a little bit more in the second unit. Second unit offense has been terrific. You got, at least tonight, you know, Rozier, Baynes, obviously those guys pretty solid. But, you know, it's going to be everyone else when they come back.
And when they come back too, I think if you have Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward off the bench coming in with a Terry Rozier, those three guys, say you throw them in with Baynes and you throw them in with Shemmy. So Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Rozier are going to be taking all the shots and making all the moves offensively. I think that would be really good for all three of those guys because, like I said, Smart and Morris are going to be the guys that get shots naturally within the offense. Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward are going to want to facilitate for themselves, and same thing with Terry Rozier. So let's see if Brad Stevens, I really think he's going to bring Jaylen off the bench after tonight whenever he comes back, and I think he'll continue to bring Hayward off the bench. And I think that there needs to be some sort of game plan where you get Gordon Hayward shots and let him facilitate, because he used to do that a lot in Utah, and he needs to get back to that. And if he can do that in a very, very good way with a second unit, that's just as valuable as him meshing with the starting unit of the Celtics. So I think there's something to be said with that, with the Celtics team. And, I mean, the caller earlier brought up Robert Williams and Shemmy playing and Yabusele playing. I mean, look, those. It's so funny how deep the Celtics are because those three guys on any other team in the league are probably playing 20, 25 minutes a night. Like, those three are great, great young players with a lot of potential. But like you said, Colin, there's just not enough room for those guys. So, I mean, the Celtics, to get any playing time on this team, it's cutthroat. And you alluded to it earlier. I think that's Darwinism at its finest. But I do want to look at the schedule ahead, Colin, as we have 10 minutes left on the CLNS Celtics post-game show. I'm Andrew Beano. Alongside me is Colin Luddy. Colin, Celtics have a pretty interesting schedule with one more game left in November, and then they have a lot of weak games in December. So the last game in November is against the Cavs. Then they play Minnesota, the Knicks, the Bulls, New Orleans again, Washington, Wizards, the Hawks, Detroit, Phoenix, all leading up to a Friday matchup on ESPN against the Bucks 4 days before Christmas. So I really think when you look at those teams I just read off, about 10, 11 of those teams, that should on paper, Colin, just like you said with the Pelicans, like coming into this year on paper, you think, oh yeah, when the Celtics' 21st game of the year go to New Orleans, they should be winning the game, that game. I really feel like the Celtics should be pretty hot going into that Bucks game, or if not, the Celtics really might be in trouble. Like, I think, am I wrong to think that the Celtics should be winning a majority of these games coming up in December against pretty weak competition?
I mean, on paper, the Celtics should go, you know, 10-11-0, and we saw them last year take advantage of a really weak schedule, and for so long they were just dominant. You know, we saw the last 2 years actually they took advantage of a weak schedule. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, make it or break it, but it will be a really good indication of do changes need to be made? Does a trade need to happen? Does someone need to be benched? Do minutes need to be reset? I think that's what you'll see more of. It's not hit the panic button time, but this is a really good opportunity for the Celtics with the stretch of games to get back and because these games count the same as they do in April and May. And they're going to need that for seeding because it is a much stronger, Eastern Conference this year. Especially Toronto looks, I'm not going to say legit yet because they're Toronto, but and then obviously with Jimmy Butler going to Philly, that puts them right as the second seed. And obviously Indiana is a tough team. Wizards, as you know, underperforming as they have, they still have, you know, a pretty talented roster. So, yeah, this is going to be really big, especially when it comes to the seeding, home court advantage in the playoffs and kind of climbing back to a spot where, you know, we all expected them to run away with the East, and they're not going to be able to get that, you know, all at once. But this is a really good way to climb back into that race.
With that, too, remember last year how important home court advantage was for the Celtics. They nearly won every single home game until that very last game in Game 7 when LeBron James, unfortunately, and the Cavaliers won and prevented the Celtics from going to the finals. But the Celtics needed home court last year. Like, think about that series against the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. It went 2-0. Celtics won both at home. Then they couldn't win on the road. Then they won Game 5. Celtics won Game 5 in Boston, lost Game 6 on the road, and then everybody knows what happened in Game 7. But the Celtics clearly like playing at home in late April and all of May. So the Celtics, like you said, Colin, these games are important for come May and April. And we'll see. I mean, they have 9 games now until they play on December 21st against the Bucks, which is like the next major marquee matchup, circle your calendar, appointment television game for even the casual NBA fan. I mean, that's going to get a lot of the hype. It's right around the holiday time. So I would say that out of these 9 games against pretty weak competition, I mean, really the best team is probably Minnesota, who they play this coming Saturday. I think the Celtics need to go at least 7-2 for Celtics fans in general just to feel better about their chances moving forward. And if they can do that and pick up a couple quality wins, I mean, they're going to face the Bucks and the Sixers and Houston and Memphis and San Antonio all towards the end of the month before the turn of the year. So they can get some momentum going early on in the month and then get a couple big wins later in the month. Going to hit that January 1st threshold that Colin, you alluded to at the very beginning of the show, and that's going to be, I think, pretty important for the Celtics team.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a really big stretch of games coming up, no matter what the competition level is, because, I mean, we've seen the Celtics team kind of falter out of the gate. So, you know, no win's an easy win, but hopefully, you know, the Celtics can kind of find their identity right now and find confidence. I think it's all about finding confidence right now in the system with Brad, with this roster, because people are just so quick, especially in this town, to just, you know, say this needs to happen, this needs to happen, we got to get rid of him. I think this is a good stretch of games to figure out how they can make it work with this group, because ideally, we talked about before the season how great this team is going to be, but nobody really factored in how hard it is to integrate so many players into one team. So I think this is the most important stretch of games so far this season.
An extremely, extremely crucial time for the Celtics team. And let's see, I will say one thing too. Looking at the schedule, Colin, the Celtics have not played a ton of home games. Like, really, if you think about it, like, they've been on the road for a lot of the year. And in these next nine games, before they play the Bucks on December 21st, they go home, away, home, away, home, away, home, away. So, like, they play, like, they don't get consistent time in Boston. They don't get any consistent time, really, in Boston until the end of this month when they get to play four in a row, starting with the December 19th game against the Suns, and then they play against the Bucks, Hornets, and then on Christmas Day against the 76ers. So, it'll be interesting to see if the Celtics can get some quality wins and then get a homestand against some good teams. If all of a sudden the narrative starts switching and at the turn of the year people are saying, oh, Celtics are back, and everybody quickly forgets about this kind of mini crisis and that they hit 500. But this game against the Pelicans could be a turning point depending on what Brad Stevens decides to do with the starting lineup once Jaylen Brown comes back. So we've talked a lot of good stuff, Colin. I feel like the callers really had some good points tonight. What's your kind of final thought on this game as we wrap up the CLNS Celtics postgame show?
Just a big shout out to the second unit, and obviously Al Horford was huge. I, you know, being a former center myself, I always respect. Like, you know, that's the first position I always look towards, even though it's kind of a dying breed in the NBA. But, you know, the way he grinded all night and how hard it is, because he was fronting Anthony Davis so much this game, and it was, you know, obviously a team effort all around. But Al Horford, you know, what a night.
Yeah, and look, I was really hard on, and you're right, Horford did show up tonight, and he's given up a lot when you go against a freak in Anthony Davis. But there's one thing I really was kind of negative about, the most I've been negative about all year, the same kind of theme, is that Jason Tatum looked like a ball hog. He was taking long twos, and he wasn't going to the rim. Well, guess what, Jason Tatum, tonight you really showed why you should be going to the rim, and hopefully Brad Stevens just keeps showing him film from this game, because he was a plus 29 tonight because of how much he went to the rim. He had two great dunks, including that and one dunk, which was kind of the nail in the coffin for this game. He really showed it as well with having three steals and getting out in transition. He came down with seven boards. Like, this is the Jason Tatum I want. I want him right around 20 points. I want him in that 12, 13, 14 shots range where he hit 7 of 14 tonight. He only took four threes. And my favorite play of the night was when he was in the corner and he pump faked. He split two defenders, including Anthony Davis, and went up for a slam dunk. It was right at the beginning of the second half. That is exactly what Jason Tatum should be doing. And he looked like a very, 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 very impressive young player that everybody hypes him up to be. And he didn't really play to that this year, but in my opinion, he 100% showed his potential tonight. And when people say, oh, what's the one young player in the game right now that you would start your team with? When people pick Jason Tatum, nights like tonight are why people get justified. He looked really good, Colin, and I was impressed with his game. And he got to the Celtics, got to the free throw line just as much as anybody on the Celtics tonight. Him and Baines both went four times. Tatum made all four of his attempts. So I was impressed with Tatum tonight, Colin. It'll be interesting to see next time we do a show together what the bench situation is like for the Celtics, what the starting five is. I mean, I'll be interested to see when Jaylen Brown comes back and what the situation is, but that's that only time will tell. So, finally, anything else you want to kind of chime in?
No, I mean, hey, great show today. Thanks for everyone who listened and called, and, you know, go Celtics.
Yeah, you know, lots to be happy about if you are a Celtics fan tonight, the way the Celtics played and the way they really showed out in a game that I think they kind of probably heard a lot of the chirping and a lot of the negative kind of, vibes from the media around this team. And guess what? They stay above 500. They looked pretty darn good offensively, and we'll see what the starting five is and who comes off the bench going forward. So for my co-host, Colin Letty, I'm Andrew Bino. Thank you to all the callers for calling in. This is another successful CLNS media post-game show as the Celtics take it 124-107 over the New Orleans Pelicans.